بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, dear visitors, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and offering special thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, as it so happens most years in the month of Ramadan, the first 10 days are busy. We are all excited about the month of Ramadan. We come to the masjid, we take part in the activities. We have that passion, that excitement. The last 10 days of Ramadan, we know are of special virtue. So we make a super extra effort. But normally what has been noticed is that the middle 10 days is when we have a bit of a dip. Is when we slack off a little bit. We take it easy a little bit. But the reason why I'm saying special thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because as I tweeted the other day, I'm not noticing that dip this year, alhamdulillah. Every night I notice, alhamdulillah, the numbers go up. Even though we are in the middle of the month. Normally when you would think that there would be a dip in attendance, but the numbers are going up, alhamdulillah. More people are here for Taraweeh. More people are here for Fajr, for the other prayers. So this is a great effort on your part, of course. But we glorify and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, because truly He is the one who guides. He is the one who gives us the ability to do good deeds. He is the one who gives us these opportunities. So alhamdulillah. The last 15 days, for the last 14 days, we have had a great struggle going on inside us. The things which were perfectly halal during other parts of the year now have suddenly become haram during the day. Eating halal food, of course. Drinking, even water, which of course everyone knows is halal, has been restricted. We get hungry during the day. The fasts are long. Though there are places where the fasts are even longer. There are places where the fasts are even longer and it is even more hot. But still, the fasts, yes, they are long compared to what we have experienced in the winter for those who are old enough. So we get hungry, we get thirsty. And we have this battle within us. For some, it's an easy battle. For others, it may be a bit more difficult. You feel like having a sip of water. You may be at work and your co-workers may be having lunch. You may be with your friends, other people, your neighbors, and maybe the ice cream truck comes along and everyone goes to get an ice cream. And when you're fasting, even if you don't like ice cream and you're an older person, you probably still will want an ice cream cone. So there's that little there's that struggle going on inside you where you're resisting that temptation. You know that by going ahead and having that ice cream cone or that sip of water, you will be breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no valid excuse, of course. If you're sick, if there's some other problem, that's different, of course. Doing so will not be conducive to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you will be breaking a command of Allah. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over you. You know that if you have that even one sip of that water, or if you take even one bite out of that nice cold ice cream cone, you know that your fast will be invalidated and you will have to make it up. And there will be a great penalty for doing so. On the other hand, you also know that if you struggle and you persevere and you stand tall, you stand strong, inshallah, thumma inshallah, there will be a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you eat, if you drink at that point, you will be breaking your fast without a reason that is good enough for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, with the exception of illness or other emergency circumstances, you will be following your desires if you do so. It will give you instant gratification. It will give you instant pleasure when you're thirsty and you're hungry and you get that cold sip of water or that cold bite out of that ice cream cone. But you know if you hold off, you will get a much greater reward. You will get the instant relief instant gratification from that one sip of water, from that one lick, one bite out of an ice cream cone. But you know that if you hold off, your reward will be much, much greater, inshallah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about fasting, فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنْ أَجْزِيبِ, that it is exclusively for me. Fasting verily is exclusively for me, and I will reward. I will bestow, I will give the reward for it. So most chances are that when you have this struggle, when you undergo this battle within yourself, most chances are, and I hope, that your faith and your willpower, backed by your iman, your faith and your reasoning, overcomes this desire to eat and drink while you are fasting. Powered by your faith and reasoning, you're able to overcome this desire. You're able to restrain yourself. You're able to control yourself so that you don't take that sip of water. You don't jump into that ice cream cone. You feel like arguing with a co-worker, with a family member. Somebody says something you think is wrong. Somebody says something you don't agree with. Perhaps it's something serious, perhaps it's something not so serious. Arguing over which is the best country in whatever sport, in the Olympics or something. You feel like arguing with a friend. Perhaps it's online. You read an article and there's people who are posting various types of comments that are making you upset. You want to argue and go back and forth with them. With no end, of course. Then you recall the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he said, "As-siyamu jannatun," fasting is a shield. فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَجْهَلْ وَإِنْ إِمْرُؤٌ قَاتَلَهُ أَوْ شَاتَمَهُ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. That fasting is a shield, so the one who is fasting should not utter obscenities or behave in an ignorant manner. This is also part of fasting. Prophet ﷺ continued on and said, if someone wants to fight him, fight that person. If someone wants to fight you or insult you, what should you say? I am fasting. This is a shield. So you want to engage in that debate. You want to engage in that argument. You want to engage in that discourse. Yet then you remember this and you stop. Or you heard or you saw someone acting very strangely or in a very annoying manner or doing something very silly, and you had this urge, just as you do in normal days, to go and share that with someone. You wanted to tell your friend about that. You wanted to tell your spouse about that. You wanted to tell your co-worker, the person beside you in the next cubicle. You wanted to tell them about that person who's acting silly again, who did something dumb again. But you remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهْلَ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَ. That whoever does not give up false speech and acting in accordance with it and ignorant conduct, and surely backbiting is among one of the worst forms of ignorant conduct. Prophet ﷺ says, Allah has no need of him giving up his food and drink. Meaning there's no benefit to giving up food and drink if a person is going to be acting ignorantly and not giving up false speech. So this is also a part of fasting. So you recognize that, you realize that, and you restrain yourself. You control yourself. You know, some people are very bad at holding, you know, secrets and things that they find out. You can't hold it in your stomach. You want to get it up. Or you want to share it with someone. So you have that tendency, but you strive hard. You push yourself. You control yourself, you put a lid on yourself to make sure that you don't end up talking in this way, especially while you're fasting. Or you don't like standing at night for Taraweeh, but you force yourself to come to the masjid. You're tired, it's long, it gets a little hot, you may not understand what's being recited, but you force yourself to come and you stand. In all of these cases, what happened? In all of these cases, you didn't fall for your desires. You didn't fall for what you felt like doing. You gave preference instead to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes over yourself. You gave preference to the pleasure, to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the command of yourself, of your nafs, over your preferences and your desires. So this is the struggle we've been going through. What it comes down to is, do we worship our desires? Do we worship our nafs? Do we worship our desires? Or do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there is no good that goes unrewarded. This is very important. It seems like something small, but in fact it's very heavy. It contains a lot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there is no good that goes unrewarded. So the fact that you had this struggle, the fact that you had this mujahada, and you suppressed your base desires, inshallah, we hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a double reward. Because not only did you commit the good deed in the end, not only did you stay away from the prohibition at the end, but you also went through a struggle. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, that the person who's reciting Qur'an, trying to recite Qur'an, and is struggling, tries to do it properly but struggles, inshallah Allah will give that person a double reward. So if you struggle, you do the good deed, but you're struggling to do so, you're fighting within yourself, inshallah we hope, we have good hopes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a double reward, reward you for the struggle as well. So this is the struggle, the mujahada, the jihad of the nafs, the struggle of the nafs. And this is not just limited to the month of Ramadan. This is an ongoing struggle. This is a continuous and ongoing struggle. As Yusuf alayhi salam said, according to most of the commentators, some say that he was the wife of the Aziz. Nonetheless, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ, that verily the human self, the nafs, is inclined towards evil. That's the way it always tilts towards. Always tilting toward that which is evil. Always tilting towards that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. Always taking us towards the things which are not conducive to attaining the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the basic level of the nafs. Think of it as the factory setting. You know the default factory setting? You buy a computer, you buy an iPad, you buy something, it has default settings. Right? Some software comes installed on it, right? Basic settings are there. So this is the basic default setting of the nafs, that it is inclined towards evil. Yusuf alayhi salam tells us, إِلَّا مَا رَحْمَ رَبِّي. Right? So the nafs is inclined, the inner self is inclined towards evil, إِلَّا مَا رَحْمَ رَبِّي, unless my Lord shows mercy. Unless my Lord shows mercy. So if you can attract enough mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you can attract enough mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will then give you the strength. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then give you the ability to control and to suppress these desires, to manage these desires. Our job then is to make an effort. Our job is to make an effort to rein it in, to discipline it, to struggle with it, to fight a jihad with it, to purify it. This is what our job is. If we try to do that, inshallah, then hopefully we'll get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will give us greater strength in achieving this. So if we try hard, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send His mercy and allow us to win. As we read in Surah Al-Shams, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by the nafs. It says, by the nafs, the soul, and him who perfected its proportion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created us all, who created all of these elements of our bodies, of our souls, of our existence. And he says, then he showed it what is wrong and what is right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left us without guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left us without guidance. He said, He has shown us what is right and what is wrong. Then Allah says, indeed, he who succeeds, the person who is successful is which one? The person who purifies this nafs, this inner self. If you're able to purify it, you're able to restrain it, control it, deal with it, manage it, then you have been successful. And indeed, he fails who corrupts it. If you allow it to continue going ahead in corruption, if you allow it to continue moving forward in negativity, in things which were wrong and which are incorrect, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like, then indeed, you are failing. Imagine yourself riding a horse. Anyone done horse riding? Horseback riding? Horse it? Yeah. Inshallah, I will do one day as well. Imagine yourself riding a horse. It's a wild horse. A wild horse, you have no control over it. It will go anywhere. You keep yanking on the reins, right? You keep beating it. You try to get it to go where you want it to go. There's no effect. It kicks you onto other people's properties, it tramples over people's gardens, it's running over people, it's kicking people, it doesn't care, it has no concern, and it's having fun in doing that. The more you try to discipline it, you try to set it straight, it's almost like it's mocking at you, you know, it's mocking you, it's laughing at you, and it just keeps doing what it wants to do. And it keeps doing it again and again, it's enjoying it. You don't want to be on that type of horse. Because you don't know what it's going to do to you. It might just flip you over, throw you off, run away. This is the state of the first type of nafs. Nafsul ammara. Nafsul ammara. The worst category of the nafs. And that is the person not only commits sins, but also boasts about them. And thus challenges Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Feels no remorse, no regret, no feelings about anything. This is the animal type of nafs, which does not care about anything or anyone. Forget about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't care about anyone, doesn't care about anything. Commit sins openly. Commit sins openly. No regard for consequences. No regard for the effect on others. Or about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will think about it. No regard for any of that. Just like a wild horse. Hurt anyone, no problem. Kill anyone. Right? Different stages within it too, right? When it gets really bad, they'll go commit murders, kill people, no remorse, no regret. Abuse people. Assault people. Assault women walking down the street. Big problem in Muslim countries, unfortunately. Yes, problem here as well. Even in many Muslim societies, unfortunately. Right? Why I felt like doing it, so I just did. Not only that, but we are now, unfortunately, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, hearing more cases, even worse cases. I was almost dread every time I hear about a news story where there's been arrest, people are looking for someone who's committed an assault, murders happen, something has happened, especially in the larger cities. I dread clicking on the story because it might be a Muslim name. I dread doing that. Because I look at that and say, oh no, here we go again. So this tells us, gives us an indication as to the state of our nafs. Right? Exploiting people. Exploiting people. Rings where children are being exploited for these purposes. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Cheating, stealing, committing zina. Right, all of these things. Person goes ahead and does, no effect, no remorse, nothing. And even sometimes blame others for it. Blame others for it. Right? Well, it's not my fault. You know, the woman shouldn't have been dressed that way. If a woman is not dressed in it according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will deal with her according to that. If she has broken the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will deal with that. But you still have your own responsibility to restrain yourself. You can't just go around blaming people. Well, I committed a sin because of so and so. No, everyone is responsible for themselves. We are all accountable for each of our own deeds. Society will degenerate around us. That doesn't mean we use that as an excuse to commit sins, to go ahead and do things which are incorrect. The onus is still on us. The individual responsibility is upon us. Yes, others also have rules and regulations to follow that have come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed those. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can and will hold people accountable for not following those. But we are also accountable for our own deeds. The excuses don't work. It will not work. And then boasting about these things. So we commit a sin and then the nafs tells us, okay, tell others about it, share it with others. So easy now, especially social media. Right? We go post pictures. You even find criminals doing that and then they get arrested like 2 days later. Right? Did you hear about the guy who was doing like 250 kilometers an hour on his motorcycle in British Columbia, 300 kilometers an hour, something like that? Right? Not only was he putting other people's lives in danger, it was risky, but he made a video about it. Okay? Not only did he just make a video about it where he could just watch it himself and get happy by seeing that he did such a crazy stunt, but then he posted it on YouTube. SubhanAllah. He posted it on YouTube. What's the purpose of posting on YouTube? Feel good. Right? Share it with others. Others, people will look at me and think I'm so smart, I'm so intelligent. Oh yeah? Well, the police see the color of the motorcycle, they see the front of it, they find out which model it is, they see the streets, they know where it is. A few days later, he's arrested. Didn't even have insurance or a license. Okay, motorcycle's gone. In trouble himself. Okay? So this is what happens when we're uncontrolled and we just keep doing these types of things. This is just one example, of course. We publicize those things. So this is Nafsul Ammara, the lowest of the low. The lowest of the low. And this is a close ally of shaitan. And pushing people away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Close ally of shaitan. And pushing people away from everything that is good. Then you have a horse upon which you have some control. Sometimes it forgets. It goes here and there. Right? It's still being trained. But then when it's reproached, when you discipline it, either you yell at it, you hit it, you do something, it straightens up. It straightens up. This is like the nafsul lawwam. The stage which is somewhat improved from the default setting. So a person commits a sin, does something wrong, or misses an obligation and feels some shame, some regret about it, and repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the common state of the Muslims. This is the common state of us, our average state, the average Muslim, who desperately, you want to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you slip into sin because your nafs overpowers you at times. So you know the importance of praying. You know the importance of giving charity. You know the importance of all of these obligations. You try to do it, but you slip, you forget sometimes, you get lazy, so on and so forth. You know the importance of eating, earning halal. You know the importance of having good character and being good to your parents and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not being in haram and illicit relationships. You know this already. You know you should be avoiding things which are prohibited. But you get overpowered by your desires and your temptations. You end up doing things which are prohibited, and you end up not doing the obligations properly. But after you find yourself in that state, after you find yourself committing a sin, after you realize that, oh, I missed another prayer, I shouldn't have done that. Or you realize that, oh, I should have given money in that cause or to that person, I should have been more charitable, you repent. You realize that you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are deeply ashamed and regretful about this. So yes, this is definitely an improvement from the basic nafs, from the first level. But we always need to continue to try to strive to improve. Always continue working towards improvement. Then finally you have the horse which is obedient. You have the horse which is in full control. It does exactly what you want it to do. It does exactly what you want it to do. So much so that sometimes you don't even have to tell it what to do. Right? So a few months ago, I was in Alberta, right? So I went to Banff. Always heard about Banff, never went there. So first time I went to Banff National Park. SubhanAllah, beautiful. Okay, so there's a horse carriage ride. So I got on the horse ride, on the carriage, right? And the fellow who's this young, very nice British man, young fellow, he's riding the horse. And he's talking, and the horse is just going on his own, right? And he just tells him one word. Yep, right, yep, right? Just says one thing, horse listens. I don't even know what he's saying. Horse understands, okay? Horse understands. Horse is going, red light, horse stops. Green light, starts again, right? So I said, what is this? He's like, well, he's been trained so well, he goes around this route so many times, he knows me so well, I don't even have to tell him what to do. He knows exactly what to do. So this is the horse which is fully under control. Fully under control. And this is like the nafsul mutma'inna, the best kind of nafs, which is rectified and trained into obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is rare. This is rare. This comes after a long struggle against the nafs. Most of us are on the second level. We need to continue struggling. But the people who are blessed by this, those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have spent considerable time and effort into attaining closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the ones who are blessed with this. And this nafs, it has changed so much. It has been reformed so much that it remains occupied, preoccupied with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wants to follow the sunnah. It wants to follow the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It wants to follow everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. Everything that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has commanded. It seeks out, it wants to do everything that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who have this type of nafs, people who have this type of nafs, not only run away from sin, they move far away. If they know there's a sin being committed somewhere, there's a possibility of a sin being committed, they'll move far away. They're like opposite magnets, right? They'll run away. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also protects them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the mercy is now intensified, right? So the more harder you try, the higher you get, the more the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So they have tried very hard, now they have the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they continue trying hard. It's not like, you know, you try once and that's it. No, you continue striving, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them and keeps them on the straight path. This is the type of nafs that we should all desire to have. So that what we are doing in worship, staying away from things which are prohibited, this is not out of force or because we are feeling that we are compelled, because we have to, but rather because we want to. We do the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, not because we have to, but because we want to. We stay away from the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like, not because we have to, but because we want to. So we mold our desires, our feelings, our wants, according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Allah talks about this nafs in the Quran when He says, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ Oh, you nafs al-mutma'inna, the content soul. ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية. Come back to your Lord, well-pleased, well-pleasing. In a state that you are pleased, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي So enter among my special servants and enter my paradise. So this is the highest level of the nafs. Brothers, if you can just move forward please, try to fill in the gaps so we can fit in some of our brothers who are waiting outside. So that is how we want our nafs to be trained. The Prophet ﷺ tells us that the smart person is the one who takes control of their self, of their nafs, and acts for that which comes after death. Prophet, we all want to be smart. Nobody wants to be a fool. And everyone wants to be smart. Prophet ﷺ tells us the formula for being smart. Smart person is the one who takes control of their self, who wrestles control of their self, and acts for that which comes after death. For the things which are to come after death, the person is focused on that. And the foolish person is who? We don't want to be fools. Prophet ﷺ tells us the foolish person is the one who simply follows his or her whims and then has false hopes with Allah. So you continue following your desires, but continue following your nafs when it tells you to do things which Allah does not like. You continue doing things which are haram. You continue avoiding things which are fard, which are obligations. And then in the end, with no regret, no remorse, I feel like, oh well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. But to attain that forgiveness and that mercy, something is required on our part as well. We can't have a careless attitude. We can't be careless about everything and then just hope that, oh, Allah will forgive us. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling us, that the foolish person is the one who simply follows their whims and then has false hopes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, we try, we make an effort. We may fall, we may slip, we make mistakes. But we continue trying, we continue seeking forgiveness from Allah, we continue seeking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be forgiving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be merciful, inshallah. So Ramadan is a training session. Ramadan is a 30-day training session for controlling our nafs. And we have been able to win many of these battles with the nafs in Ramadan. We've been able to control ourselves, our desires, as I mentioned in the beginning. Now this struggle should continue, it needs to continue after Ramadan as well. So that we restrict our seeing, the things that we consume through our eyes, the things that we hear. We don't think much about this. New movie comes out, everyone wants to go see it. Doesn't matter if it's Ramadan or what, we're going to go watch The Dark Knight. Right? New show comes out, we all want to see it. Somebody shares a picture on Facebook, no matter how indecent maybe, we need to look at it because our friend has shared it. Right? We don't think about what we are hearing. We're going to keep buying tracks, music tracks, keep listening to them, half the time not even understanding what the lyrics are saying. Many times these lyrics are poisoned with things which are evil, coming from shaitan. But we like how it sounds, we keep listening to it, it keeps brainwashing us. We don't think about what we're saying, using foul language, backbiting, lying, gossiping. Right? We just do it. Comes to mind, we feel like doing it, we do it. Touching, things which are haram. Being in relationships which are impermissible, eating and drinking things which are not haram, which are not halal, which are not permissible. We don't think too much, put too much thought into that. We just feel like doing it, we do it. So we need to continue restricting all of this, to continue managing this, these desires, so that we continue to gravitate towards things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves of, And so that we become true worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the worshippers of our desires. When it's time for Fajr, the adhan on your phone goes off. Your alarm clock goes on, your mom comes by and says, "Get up, it's time for Fajr." Your dad comes by, wakes you up. You have a choice to make at that time. Are you going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or are you going to worship your desires? Your desires are telling you to keep lying in bed because it's nice and cozy and you're tired and so on and so forth. You just saw a nice dream. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, you need to get up and pray Fajr. You need to get up and pray, offer your Fajr prayer. Which one are you going to choose? Which one are you going to worship? Dawud alayhi salam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Do not follow your selfish desires. Why? What happens if you follow your selfish desires? What happens if you don't think about these things and just do whatever you feel like doing? What happens? Lest it should lead you astray from Allah's path. Following your desires, if you take your nafs, your desires as your Lord, you continue to listen and obey. Whenever your self tells you, you feel like doing something, you just go and do it. What is it going to do? It's going to lead you astray from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the nafs is telling you to go the opposite way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling you one way, your desires are going to be calling you the other way. You know, nowadays we're told, follow your heart's desire, to your heart's content. Be free, have no restrictions. Right, live a life of total freedom, doing what you like, not doing the things you don't feel like doing. This is the message that we hear constantly. Right, be completely free. This attitude, this route, this path leads to spiritual suicide. What does it lead to? Spiritual suicide. It's a field day for the nafs al-ammara. Because there's no basis for morality, there's no basis for ethics and for guidelines. Everything is fair game. The human being is almost like an animal. Whatever you feel like doing, you go and you do it. Why? Because you should be yourself. Being yourself meaning following your desires. This is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. This is not what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us. This is not why Allah has created us, so that we live any way we want, doing whatever we want. This is what shaitan wants us to do. This is what Nafsul Ammara wants us to do. To live with no restrictions, complete freedom. This is what shaitan in our nafs wants us to do, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنُ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ. That the life of this world is a prison for the believer. Have you been to a prison before? I hope not as a convict, maybe as a visitor. Right? You go to a prison, you notice all your moves are restricted. You can't go anywhere without someone watching over you. Without stopping, going through another checkpoint, another roadblock, another gate. It's restricted. There's rules, regulations. This is what the world is like for the believer. It's restricted. There's rules and regulations at every step. That's how it is. Because it's a test. For the disbeliever, it's like paradise. You do whatever you like, no problem. Prison is a place of test. You know, there's rules, regulations, and it's something which is serious. Right? This life is something which is serious. The nafs doesn't like to hear that. Our desires don't like to hear that because they get restricted. They don't like to hear that. You don't like to hear what I'm saying right now, that there are rules and restrictions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it that way so that we are successful in this life, then we get the ultimate paradise. Not paradise in this world, and then pure loss in the hereafter. So in Ramadan, we are getting used to these restrictions, we are suppressing our desires. We must continue that struggle after Ramadan, the continuous struggle for betterment, for greater control over our nafs, so that it can't take you for a ride. It's not like a wild horse that can take you anywhere it wants. So that it doesn't hold you hostage and say, well, if you don't follow me, then I'm going to be sad. If you don't follow me, I'm going to be angry at you. And it forces you to worship it. This is not the type of nafs you want. You want to cut it out. You have to cut it down. You want to control it. What do? You cut down its feed, the things that trigger it. The activities, the places, the things that allow these desires to grow, you got to nip them at the bud. When you have weeds in your lawn, lawns are pretty much dry right now, unless you've been watering them like every other day. But if there are weeds, you don't just tip them. Does anyone snip them at the top? If you have weeds in your lawn, you snip them at the top. No, you pull them out of the roots. You pull them out of the roots, you get to the bottom of it. In the same way, if we want to control our desires, we can't put band-aid solutions. We need to go to the bottom. What is leading us to these sins? What is leading us to this state? That's what needs to be cut. The opportunities for temptation need to be cut down. And the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a solid weapon in this. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a solid weapon for controlling our nafs, for wrestling it down, for taming it, and for purifying it. So we try to increase our remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to increase our consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We try to move away from the places and the times and the things that lead us to sin. Get away from those. If being on a computer alone leads you to committing sins online, don't be in front of a computer alone. If having internet access on your phone leads you to commit sins and watch material which is indecent, get that data plan off your phone. Get rid of your phone. There was a time when people had no cell phones. The world operated. We lived. Okay, I saw the first cell phone in 1993. I know I'm making myself sound old. And it was this big, right? When my dad got it. So there was a world when all, when everything happened without these things, right? So control yourself. Take away those tools which are leading you to commit the sins so that you can control it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true purification of the nafs of the soul. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow His mercy upon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who have nafsun mutma'inna, so that when we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have no regrets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us, and we are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen wa akhidu 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 w